Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let me properly introduce you guys. So this is the Juice Podcast. I'm Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. Mm. With me, my co-hosts, Jeff and Eric Rosenthal.
Hi.
It's Surreal.
Hey.
And Big Sean.
Yeah.
I think it's like the third time that I've talked to you. I don't know how many times. I don't know if you guys have talked to Sean before.
We interviewed Sean on the red carpet at the BET Awards in 2011.
Right.
Yeah. So like right after your first album came out.
Yeah. And then another time I thought too.
Right? Yeah, we've seen you around too.
Yeah. We went to like listening parties. We've hung out. Yeah.
Honestly, we hung out.
Honestly.
We're like friends.
We go to a lot of listening parties, obviously, like running in these circles. The two best listening parties that we've ever been to, one was the Watch the Throne one, because that, like, how can you top being at the Planetarium?
Were you there for that?
No.
At the Hayden Planetarium uptown? Unbelievable. And the second was your listening party at the Standard, right?
I remember that.
Because, and the thing that both of them had in common was that they turn off the lights, and you're seated, and you're forced to listen to the music, as opposed to, like, any other listening party where it's just like
to talk to
everyone in the industry.
Yeah.
And the music becomes like background.
Yeah.
I think you chilled on stage and sat down and kind of listened to it with us.
Do you know when you come into like certain markets like New York and you do the Breakfast Club, do you know you're like, oh, Charlamagne's there and I'm going to get a certain type of interview and I should sort of like prepare myself ahead of time?
Nah, I used to be like that. Nah, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's just that my whole attitude really has just been like, I just do what the fuck I want to do, man. Say what I want to say. Like, this album, I didn't make... I tried to not, you know, not purposely, but I wasn't like... You know, before it would be people in my ear, label, we need a radio song, we need this. Mm-hmm. Like, man, fuck all that. I just kept it real and did what I wanted to do. And, you know, the radio found... Like, I Don't Fuck With You is not a radio song, man. Like, come on.
I don't know. It has fuck in the title.
Yeah. And it was... I Don't Fuck With You, you little stupid-ass bitch. I ain't fucking with you. You little dumb-ass bitch. Like I mentioned, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you. It's just like... You know,
and
but
there's your single right there.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, that was completely unexpected. And, you know, that wasn't like the radio took that from the streets. The people made that on the, you know, they made that go on the radio. So that's just what I'm on lately. It's tight to see it actually work out like that. And so for this album, I just kept it real. I just put my situations, my personal life all out there. And, you know, it just, I like it. I'm proud of it.
I mean, I listened to the whole album today, like front to back, and I thought it was great. And I think that one of the things that made it great was that you are that transparent and it is your life. And you can tell that. Like, years ago when Game would put out like songs, everyone would be like, oh, you're name dropping, that's all it is. But I feel like when you mention Don C or you mention Chris Brown or Mike Carson or Kim and Kanye, it's for a good reason, and it feels like you're just telling us your life story. It's not like name dropping. It's just like, this is who I am.
Yeah, being descriptive.
Like, it's a real
situation.
Like,
you know these people.
Yeah.
You've met Kanye.
Yeah, once.
But, like, how much of your album consciously is you going in there and being like, this is my story, and that's it, as opposed to someone like Usher, who said that Confessions was like a mix of situations he knew about or friend situations and his own. Like, are you like, all right, I need to do this type of song, like it needs to tackle the subject, or are you like, you know what, this is what I'm feeling and this is who I am and I'm just going to put it out there and it'll find its way into the...
It's mostly that, but it's been times where like, okay, like let me use examples. Most of the songs are my real situations. All right, Now, what's funny is, well, I don't fuck with you. I wrote that when I was not going through anything relationship-wise. Everything was fine. But it's funny how timing that shit came up later. Right. And it was like, it kind of fit my situation way more. It was really weird. Really fucking weird, actually. So it's things like that. But it all definitely relates to me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like songs like, okay, the one I did with Party Next Door, I was telling that story. Like this, I kind of like, not necessarily, it was just kind of like I took things from a whole bunch of different situations and made them a story. Like, that's not really how I went as far as like, okay, I'm with this stripper, this and that. Like, I kind of just got into a character. But that takes a good writer to do that too, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? To tell a story through that way, or, you know, get fictional in that sense. But it was truth to the story in the sense of I talked about first time going to L.A., Don mm-hmm. C., yeah. all that stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but definitely these are all experiences I've gone through, things I've lived through. So,
well, you have Ariana on Research.
Yeah.
How did she feel about like the content of that song? Because it's pretty much all these girls like stalking you and
yeah,
all that.
We did that song a long time ago. Right. And like, so I remember I was just talking to her like about it a couple of days ago, and then she was like, make sure you tell people that's not like our situation.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I think people know that. She was like, I don't know, people might not know that. People might think I'm going through your stuff, you know. So, but I appreciate her for being an artist, though, and just, like, right. down to, like, collab on that. You know, we got songs, like, on her last album, we had a song, Best Mistake, which mm-hmm. was, like, Love You, you know, with a different type of vibe. This is, like, some real shit that yeah. people go through, and it's tight that she was able to distance herself from our situation and put herself in a situation, you know, different situation for the song. So yeah. I appreciate
it. Because when I heard
that.
It, I wasn't like, this is their relationship. That's why I was like, I wonder what she yeah, would have thought when think, you were like, get on this song right here.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think people would think that.
I don't know. Some people on the internet are like dummies.
Like, just some?
Yeah. I feel like you must get like, you know, crazy like, you know, stories about you. And you're just like, I don't know where this is from.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
All day.
Do you look into them? Do you read all that stuff?
I don't read all of them, but I come across them. You know, you just come across yeah. stuff, but... Man, hell no, I don't read a lot of stuff to throw me off because, you know, you could spend hours on the internet.
Do you have relatives who look on the internet and find...
Oh, hell yeah. My mom has Google alerts. You know what I mean? And people on my team and, you know, they keep an eye out for stuff. And because sometimes, you know, if something's too false and it's, you know, you got to like let them know or something.
Sure.
But I don't really pay attention to that shit, man, because... You know, if you focus on that, then you won't be focusing on what you got to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to I'm focused as ever and hungry as ever.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I don't want to spend too much time on your old girl, but was the hardest part of your breakup trying to find a replacement for the line, my new girl's on glean shit? Trying to make more.
No, it was easy. I just said my old girl's on glean shit. Yeah. Probably making less money than me. It's pretty simple.
We went to the show you did in Brooklyn with Currency for Complex,
uh-huh.
and you definitely said that on stage yeah. there. And like, I feel like the whole crowd was just waiting on that to hear what was up.
Yeah. So,
You're with Roc Nation now,
yeah.
in a management capacity,
mm-hmm.
and you're still with Good Music, and no one's asking you to take sides. But if you were to play softball, uh-huh. which team would you play for?
Good Music.
Yeah, yeah.
All day. You know, Kanye. Come on, I wouldn't be here without him. You know.
You don't want Sean Pekkas on your team, you
nah,
know?
Hell no, man.
He's a ringer for softball.
Yeah, I'm gonna knock it out the park on those guys. Say no, it's all family though. You know what I mean? Just from Pekkas to, you know, obviously Hov and Jay Brown and all those guys, man. It's great, but Good Music. Yeah, you know he was in the trenches with me, man. He, you know, me and him been through a lot together, and just he really believes in me, and you know. It was, first of all, we rapping back and forth on All Your Fault on the album,
yeah.
which I don't think he's only rapped back and forth with Hov, I think. I don't know who else he's really.
Common, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. On
it's probably like back.
Oh, on his
like
album?
Shy City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But it wasn't
but
like
you're
that.
But you're in good
though.
Company. No, it's not like that. But like, I didn't know if you had written the whole thing and said, like, you can take a couple lines here, or whether you wrote it together or how it worked, but it's seamless.
Yeah.
Is the point.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's seamless.
Did you record your stuff down in Mexico too?
No, I recorded my whole album in my house.
Really?
Yeah, I recorded the whole thing in my house, and I think that's why this album is special, man. This is my third album, but I feel like it's my first album like this, and it was just like really getting the hang of it, really just doing what the fuck I wanted to do, going into it being like, I'm only doing what I want to do. I'm not listening to no fucking body else. You know what I mean? Yep.
No radio.
No, nothing. Just like going into making the music I want to make, and like then having people like, yay there, like, yes, you're on the right track. This is good. And, you know, having people just add. I feel like every feature on the album added. I didn't use anybody for their namesake. I used them for their talent. And they like came with their, everybody came with their A game, from Wayne to Ye to John Legend to, you
Janae.
Chris to Brown. Chris Brown, Ty Dolla $ign. You know,
that's also
Ariana, Party Next Door, everybody.
I like those soul samples that you have with, like, it's on that song. Then there's, I think, the Fault song with Kanye also has some
yeah,
of, is that
and
his production
and an outro,
on
that? Too. Yeah, he definitely produced that with a couple other people, yeah. All Your Fault. And what else did he produce? It's one song I didn't use that he did, too, but I might use it later on or something.
When was the last time you were in an actual studio? Because I feel like everyone now has like a studio in their own spot.
Well, the thing is, I built a studio, an actual studio in my crib.
Right.
You know, it was like, yo, I'm either going to buy this like Lamborghini or I'm going to, you know, I took that money instead and built a studio in my crib.
But there's no reason for you to go to like, you know, the Record Plant or anything.
Right.
Like,
no
really
reason.
Ever again.
You can.
You just go to Miguel's house.
The only thing we use other studios for was mixing, mm-hmm. for sending it to engineers. But I recorded and did a couple mixes in my house, too. And, you know, I built the room out for it to be used for mixes. I wanted it to be better than better than professional studios that, you know, mm-hmm. were out there. And we got it to a point where it's great, man. It's like my cave. You know, I go in there and, you know, you can wake up at 4 in the morning, at 9 a.m. in the morning, at 2 in the afternoon, you know, and just go and not have to worry about anything. And that truly makes a difference, at least for me, because... Mm-hmm. When I would get ready to go to the studio, sometimes I would put too much pressure on myself. Like, all right, I got this 12-hour block. Mm-hmm. The label's paying for this, you know. Yep. It's $1,500 a day or whatever, however much it was. And then when you get there, you're not in the mood. All right, I got to get in the mood, you know. And it's like, damn, all right, I've been here 5 hours. I ain't did shit yet, you know. But at your crib, it's like, okay, I'm going to just look at Wolf of Wall Street for a little while and get in the mood, you know what I mean, or Dark Knight or Forrest Gump or whatever, and just, like, vibe out. And it just gets done.
Were you listening to certain things before you were making this album?
Not too much.
You just kind of zoned in?
Yeah, I listen. The music I've been listening to lately, or I can't remember exactly what I was listening to right before I started the album. But lately I've been listening to just like a lot of Stevie Wonder, a lot of like Eminem, listening to like Eminem's first album a lot.
Really?
just a lot of good music. Yay,
super happy stuff, you good. Know Eminem.
I've been listening to Graduation.
Oh, so that's super happy, so that sort of like fucks up my argument.
That is actually
what else have I been listening, and just, you know, music that comes out currently, I'll just be checking out, you know.
So like at this point in your career, what role does Kanye play in your sound and aesthetic, and what role do you play in his?
We're in a studio together, you know, not all the time, but we're definitely in a studio together. And, you know, I run stuff by him and he runs stuff by me, and, you know, we add anything that we hear or any suggestions, and it's like, yo, bro, you know, it's like your homie. It's like we're friends, you know, and... He's my mentor, and he's like, he'll hear some stuff and be like, I don't think you should do that. I think you should do this, or, you know, I love this. And this was definitely one of the times where, though, he was just like, damn, man, you're doing good. You're rapping great on here. So I appreciate it.
You ever fight him for something that you want but he doesn't want? Or you guys, like, disagree on something?
Yeah, of course.
There's the behind the scenes, I think it was when you guys were recording Blessing, with like Kanye and Pusha, and you were in there. And it does sound like you said he was very like very motivational about it, like kind of cheering you on.
Yeah, that was the first time I played it for Pusha, and he was just like, man, this album is good as he was like, man, I know, I saw him on Instagram, and he was like, yo, you should take a bow in advance, man. This is like, he was really impressed, and it was cool to see Pusha impressed like that, you know what I mean? Because I really respect just Pusha T as an artist and just his taste level, and Ye felt the same way. Everybody in the studio felt the same way, and you know, regardless of what the album does, what it sells or anything, I'm very most proud of this album because it's just, I feel great about the music, man. Mm-hmm. And I really put my heart into it. You know, songs like One Man Could Change the World, have my grandma on there. It's like, I immortalized her on my song. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she will live through all our family members. But I can honestly say this was my vision, this is how I wanted to do it. And that's the best feeling, to be a musician and to be successful and to, you know, see the life I see, man. So I really put my heart into it. I hope people really support this one.
Makes it more special. I mean, all of your albums are clearly important, but that's why it makes this one, like, a little bit more special than the other ones. Because also you have, like, Roc Nation with you on this one. I feel like Kanye seemed, like, a little bit more hands-on with this. Like, he gave definitely you a little bit more of a push.
Definitely. And, you know, it was just the right time. It was the right timing. You know, we just... we were in the same place as a lot, and we made efforts to be in each other's sessions. And
yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Really, really appreciate him, for real.
We spoke with A$AP Ferg a couple months ago, and he told us, we were like, who are your rapper friends like outside of the A$AP mob? And he mentioned you, and he was like, legitimately, Big Sean's a great guy, and we just spoke with each other like... as friends.
Yeah, he comes to my house and shit.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he said you guys have a gang of music just like sitting there. Like,
yeah,
you record,
man,
songs.
We do, actually. We have a couple good ones, man.
Did any of that turn into B-Boy by
Meek
Mill?
Yeah, B-Boy was one of them.
Okay.
B-Boy was one of them. And he had one called Ja Rule that he put on his last mixtape.
Yeah.
And then we have another one. I don't know what's going to happen. I was going to put it on my album, and it's very good. And I just had to, I just couldn't have too many songs. They were telling me I was already, first of all, I fucking hate, that's the only thing I hate about albums and the label. They be like all on your dick about like, oh, okay, you can't have, like, man, they was like, you can't, they told me I couldn't have more than 11 songs. Right. I had to fight so hard to have 12 songs on the standard and a couple more on the deluxe, you know what I mean? And that's just weak shit. I feel like that's whack. And that's why, you know, people love that you could do 17, 18, 19, 20 song mixtapes. You know what I mean? But that's just the difference. But I do like how albums are more immortalized. They live forever more than a mixtape, I feel like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just it's a give and take situation. It's a whole different process when you're making an album. But there is some music with Ferg that I'm sure will come out soon.
Yeah. Well, what's their reasoning for keeping music off an album now? Because, I mean, I imagine that back in older times, like, it would be like, you can't fit enough songs on a CD, you can't fit enough songs on vinyl.
I think it's a publishing issue now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a, man, I don't know, man. Something that I don't really...
But, at the same time, I thought it was really dope when you put out the four songs with I Don't Fuck With You, like, all as a package, and that was just, like, on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah, I thought that was, like, real smart to sort of, like... celebrate the Roc Nation move and show your new sort of like
wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Those songs, I love those songs. And Paradise is on the album, the extended version. That was one of the four songs, and I Don't Fuck With You. And I wanted to put Fourth Quarter on there because that was like a blackout song that I had that I know the fans really like, but it was three samples in there that we couldn't clear. Like, just alone in that song, it was three samples, and...
What's the one sample that you just could never clear? Like,
well, that was one of them. Okay. I don't remember. It must have been, like, an Aretha.
Have you...
I don't know what type of sample. It was something crazy.
Do you make that personal call, like, at a certain point?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, there's some of them, you know, like, for... with Play No Games with Chris and Ty Dolla $ign, like, I was bumping into Teddy Riley, like, yo, by the way... You know, I got this, you know, so, you know, just things like that. But people seem to be, I'm happy with, you know, nobody gave too many problems as far as samples go. We had to replay a few that I was mad about. But, you know, all in all, you can't complain too much. You know, we got the ones I really cared about, like on All Your Fault. you know, we got to keep that sample in there and the outro and things like that. So.
Well, we know that you're working with Ye, like, on his album because you were out in Mexico. But, I mean, Push is also working on stuff. Mm-hmm. Who else that you could talk about? Who else's stuff are you working on?
I'm looking forward to work with other people. Like, I know Santi Gold really wants to get in the studio. I got love for her. And, like, you know, the Good Music fam, obviously.
Well, and that sort of brings up something interesting, which is we were at John Legend's birthday party. That was also the 10th anniversary of Get Lifted, right? Mm. A celebration for that. And walking around the room were all people we would expect, and some other people that we wouldn't expect, like Katie Couric or like Michael Strahan.
Or Robert De Niro.
Yeah. But Consequence was walking around. And, you know, honestly, besides the, was it Love and Hip Hop?
Mm-hmm. That he was on recently.
Yeah, he was quiet for a while, and the last thing you heard before that was his sort of falling out with Kanye. And then, so we were like, oh, well, this is interesting that he's walking around with all these guys, but, like, obviously he was a part of Good Music back then. Mm-hmm. And then you see him popping up on his Instagram at Kanye's house, and he's like, I'm helping out with the new album. And then he took a picture with you. And while there was this sort of low point, it seems like he's back in the swing of things, even like hanging and contributing maybe production or helping out with some writing. Can you speak on what his reintroduction has been like?
We were all in the studio together. He was this in the studio with that video where Kanye and Pusha was talking about you know, that's out. He was in the room that day, but that's like, you would probably have to ask Ye more what his dynamic has been, because you know, I haven't really seen that much going on. So
yeah, I like that feeling though. I like seeing like Cons and Pusha and like Common and Q-Tip, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's all, like, the old, it's regime, all time. And it's the love, new regime. Man, it's not time for no hate. It's all love out here, you know.
Yeah, and like, you know, also his love for like Chicago rappers and having like New and still everyone that he's worked with. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely comes off as a family.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the studio. Vic Mensa was in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of good people were in there in the studio. Puff was in there, I think.
Do you feel any sort of attachment to Vic Mensa, being that he's a Midwest guy like yourself?
Yeah, I got love for him. That's the homie. So we got some stuff coming up.
What do you think about the stuff that's out that you could talk about as far as like Kanye's music, like Wolves and like Only One?
I love Wolves, man. That was like one of my favorite songs that I heard a long time ago. That's crazy to me. See, it was on there killing. Vic was on there going, and I appreciate that good music.
I think you mentioned this earlier when you didn't want to think about like singles with your album. Like, you're just like, I'm gonna do this shit. And I think that also, it reminds me of Kanye with like Only One. And even like Wolves, like, you don't expect that to be like a hot 100 hit, no shots at myself and Billboard, but I don't see, you know what I mean? So like, did you have that conversation with him and Pusha and everyone in the room where it's just like, let's not even think about that, let's just do this?
We never had that conversation. It was pretty much understood though. Like, of course you love hearing yourself on the radio, but I don't want to ever compromise myself to make a radio song, ever. Never again is that ever going to happen. You know what I mean? And
you felt it happen before?
Shouts to Def Jam.
No, I mean, I just feel like it's been times where, it's been like, okay, you need something on the radio. Right. You need something like this. And, you know, and not necessarily to say they were like this type of music or that type of music. It's all still real. You know what I'm saying? My Last, you know, Ass, those are some of my like biggest songs.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just progressing as an artist. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing things how I want to do it. And
I Don't Fuck With You has 39 million streams on SoundCloud alone. Like, how do you feel your music is, like, do you feel that because you're on your third album now and you've been around for as long as you've been around, you know, six, seven, 8 years or whatever you've been around, do you feel like you've gotten to the point now where your fans and your fan base is built up where it's like you don't really need that radio single? Or do you feel like it's, you know, just sort of something else?
I just feel like I don't even want to think about it. If radio's going to play my song, that's awesome. You know what I mean? And hopefully they find songs that they gravitate towards and like and love. But, you know, I'm not dictating what I make for them, though, at all.
Yeah. Because I do feel like...
You know, some of my biggest radio successful songs aren't, you know, like Click wasn't. Mm-hmm. We just did that. Mercy, you know, these songs, like All Me and, you know, songs I've been a part of. And, you know, they just were songs that got, you know, picked up by radio. And those are some of my best songs.
Because I feel like, you saw what Drake did, you know, this week. You put out an album out of the blue.
Well, did you see what Drake did?
It was crazy. And, you know, I had had a verse to that Used To song.
Wow, really? What happened to that?
Where is that?
I just dropped it. You guys can check it out. It's like a crazy ass verse. And
did you call him and you're like, why wasn't this?
Yeah, of course. I'm like,
what did he say for not putting
it
in?
But I did it really late. It was like a really late thing. It was like a super last minute thing, and you know, iTunes type shit. But
you're like, fuck this, I'm gonna release it.
It's cool, but we got blessings, you know what I mean? We got, you know, obviously that's the bro right there. So.
Yeah, and I feel like what he's doing and what J. Cole did, it's not dependent on radio or singles or a traditional model. It's just like, you know what? The fans are going to buy into
it. You have a fan base, and they'll find you.
Yeah.
It must be like a very good space to be in, where you can now just depend on that and not have to like stress yourself out or pressure yourself
or like spam people on Twitter, like sending like individual links.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
spamming the hell out of people.
My gosh, someone texted me a video. A music video.
A
rapper sent me a music video.
Hard. I text songs all the time to people.
Do they know you?
Pharrell text me a song.
But they know you. I have no idea who this was.
But Pharrell's not looking to get put on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like someone actually trying to have me post it and like listen. And
No.
That's deep. I mean, shit, I would do it if I was trying to get on too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's cutthroat out here. You know?
Hey, maybe, now I feel bad. Now I got to go back and do my text messages.
I mean, it's nothing like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, don't let Big Sean like guilt you into like listening to shitty music.
Yeah, if it's shitty, I mean, yeah. I've wasted a lot of time listening to shitty music just trying to like give people chances and stuff.
You still do though. You still listen to like what people give you.
Yeah,
all
the time. Every time, actually. Yeah, I pop it in. Like if they give it to me, I'm in a car. I pop the CD in.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of your story is to actually.
That's a big part of my life.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of have to give these people some.
Yeah, and we find a lot of great people too.
Yeah. What do you do with that? Like, do you give them feedback?
Well,
I
feel like I'm just getting to a point where I can start really helping people out. Like I've signed a few producers that I really believe in, like Key Wayne, who's had tremendous success, you know. He produced with not just with me, but with Beyonce, and you know, he did that Partition and another one on there too. And you know, he did All Me with me and Drake, and he's done like just a lot. You know, he did Beware for me, and he did a lot of stuff on his new album for sure. So I'm proud of him. He's just on the rise, and
he's everywhere.
The placements go on and on for him. You know, that's not even a fraction of it.
Yeah, he's everywhere, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I got new producers, you know, this producer named Rob Got Beats, who did the intro to the album. My producer, Amir, who produced One Man Could Change the World. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a lot of new talent on the rise. And I think I can start doing the same for artists now, too.
Well, that reminds me, you said outro. The number, the Detroit number on your outro song.
Yeah.
I was about to call it, and then I got a little nervous. But what number is that?
Well, that's my real phone.
Really?
Yeah, that's my real phone. I had to turn it off.
You did? Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just turned it. I'm going to turn it back on later on, like tonight.
But is that like a separate phone that you have now?
Well, now I have two phones.
So when you listen to the album, I actually have that phone on me.
Yeah, so you could send like pictures and like text and like I'm gonna see it.
Erica pass along some shitty rap songs?
Yeah. Be getting the video.
Yeah, you can send your demos. Just text that shit to me. I'm gonna look at it.
Now I feel bad. If he's gonna look at it, I have to look at these videos also.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just gonna forward it on to you.
Yeah, ask Big Sean his opinion. of these songs that you're not gonna listen to.
He'll be very honest. Yeah.
You were at the Rock City Classic that happened. What was that last week?
All Star Weekend.
Yeah. And so obviously you said that you don't disagree with Kanye, like, you know, you disagree on certain things, but like I feel like you didn't disagree on performing in 15 degree weather.
And
were you just like freezing up there? Was it?
It was very fucking cold. I didn't realize how cold it was outside, man. Until I was on that stage for like 5 minutes and was like, shit, I can't feel my hand. You know, but it was cool. I felt sorry for the people in the crowd more though, because it had to be, at least we had hot ass lights and shit.
Oh, true, us, yeah.
You know what I mean? They were just in that cold ass brisk cutthroat. Like that's that type of cold where if you bump your hand against something that hard, that shit feels like you chopped your finger off. You know.
And
but
so like
it was an experience though.
And you guys are for the most part, all wearing the Yeezys. Mm-hmm. Is that your choice, or is that does that come from on high?
Well, I wanted to wear the Yeezys. They were like, yo, you should wear this. Everybody was like, hell yeah.
Right. Well, you're not going to say no to that.
Like, no, I mean, but I mean, like,
coolest shit.
But in terms of, like, you know, like, when you guys were all wearing suits and good music, I feel like,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
like, these are all, like, you know, sartorial choices. I don't know, like, how that
squad
comes.
Goals. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a...
Is that, like, a group decision? Like, who dresses good music, I guess?
Well, the concepts come from, I guess, mainly Ye, you know, when it comes to good music as far as, like, yo, you know, clothes. Yo, hey, yo, we should all wear this. It's like, cool, let's do it, you know? It don't be like, y'all motherfuckers gotta wear it. It don't ever be nothing like that. But I mean, who wouldn't want to wear the Yeezys performing with Yeezy?
Right. Yeah.
It's like fucking crazy, you know?
Well, I'm gonna close it up.
Thanks for taking the time out, man. Thanks for talking to me about Dark Sky Paradise, you know?
No, we appreciate it.
It's definitely my best work to date.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, it's been a journey. Got a long way to go. You know, we keep evolving and... I just appreciate you guys really listening. You know, yeah. I know you guys don't listen to everything, so
clearly I'm over here.
Mostly shitty links.
Clearly I'm over here ignoring text messages.
Yeah, so damn. thanks for, you know, checking it out. And like I said, I'm focused and I'm hungry, and you know, go support it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I put my heart into it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
thanks, guys.